the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Choose performance that lasts. Choose Berger. Made in the Caribbean. Formulated to provide superior weather resistance in harsh tropical conditions. Guaranteed to protect against and deter fungal and algal growth. To meet the needs of residential and commercial spaces. Berger transforms your spaces with a wide selection of colors in brands you know and trust. Built to withstand that busy lifestyle. Virtually odorless. Thousands of colors. Premium performance are at your fingertips when you choose Berger. Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
All right. Well, good news for people in the Caribbean. Yes, the West Indies qualifying for the Super 8s. I want to say that again. The West Indies qualifying for the Super 8s, and we are very, very happy from Kingston, Jamaica, right through to Georgetown, Guyana. We're celebrating because the West Indies so far, they've done very well in the competition. They've got a game coming up on Thursday morning, 1:30 against Italy. Italy, they've played some pretty decent cricket so far, and it's really good news. I'm sure that many people across the Caribbean will be quite happy that we have made it so far, and we want to continue in the Super 8s on February the 23rd. We'll play against Zimbabwe, yes. That's at 9:30 Eastern Caribbean time. Then on February the 26th, they'll play against South Africa at 5:30. And then on March the 1st, they'll play against India at 9:30. So the West Indies in to the Super 8s, and Australia out of it. Can you imagine that? In fact, a couple of weeks on the show, there were many people saying Australia will go on to win the tournament, but they lost two matches, and the reality is the side not looking as good as I'm sure many Australians would hope, so they're out of the tournament. We're going to be certainly making the rounds across the Caribbean. We're going to get some reaction. We're hoping to touch base with Courtney Walsh. I know the differential in time is against him, but he promised that he'd put his alarm on. He would want to join us a little bit later on the show. We hope to be able to touch base. Of course, he's the bowling coach for the Zimbabwe team. Now, I'm also hearing that there may be CPL cricket in St. Vincent. Interesting, because I actually spoke to Mr. Dougal James, the president of the St. Vincent Cricket Association. He's saying that talks are on, and there is a possibility that there may be some CPL cricket in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And that's something we're going to be following. But without any further ado, we're going to go straight to our panel and get some reaction. I see Toppers is very much with us already. Hello, Toppers. How are you? Are you okay? Toppers? Don Topley? Yeah. Are you hearing us, Don? Are you hearing me?
Hello. Very good evening to all. Good evening to the panel, and good evening into the Caribbean. Great to hear you now. I didn't hear any questions. Sorry.
But maybe you weren't paying attention. I didn't ask any questions. First of all, you would want to congratulate the West Indies on getting into the Super 8s, I'm sure.
Oh, brilliant. Yes, chuffed. And I do hope the panel agrees that last week I said, don't be scared of England. I don't think England are playing well. And I don't necessarily think they've got their best side out there either. I was in Sri Lanka recently when I watched them, and I thought they were OK. But Sri Lanka have played some better cricket, having played against England. So well done to the West Indies. Well done to Sri Lanka too. And I know the West Indies, well, you've got some decent games coming up now, and that you've got a growing confidence. And I think hopefully all the countries, all the islands are behind the West Indies because you never know in T20.
From Philo Wallace. Philo, you're happy? Oh, Philo's not there? Oh, okay. We thought we had Philo Wallace there. Let's get a reaction from Dr. Ford then.
All right. Good night to the panel and to listeners. Yeah, well, you have to be happy with the way the team has performed. And as I said, we had nothing to lose and we had to play brave cricket. And it was good that we put up a really good score of almost 200 and defended it. So it was great to see how the guys played, and having Chase in the side really proved to be, you know, a big asset. And, you know, Rutherford batted well. There were a lot of good performances, and, you know, I'm happy for the guys, and I wish them luck going forward. And having Zimbabwe is a much easier prospect than playing Australia in the next round.
All right. Well, a little bit later on, we hope to also speak to Lawrence Rowe, who has promised to come on the show and, you know, offer his thoughts. But let's go to Philo Wallace now. Philo, your reaction to the West Indies' good performances so far.
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Good evening to your panel and many listeners, to Sheila Hart, for Kevin and Carlos. Yes, Andrew, when you look at the way they're performing this ICC 2020, they perform well. And it is not about certain players. I think everyone is making a contribution. See consistency from the batters. Hetmyer obviously has been the one who's been leading. But you see a lot of teamwork. If the top fields, you find that Hetmyer and then a middle order, low middle order will rally together, the total. And the bowlers seem to understand their roles. In the last game, it's good to see Akeem Hussain using the new ball to great effect. Mm-hmm. And we hope that will continue. But the performances so far are heartwarming. And obviously, all of us in the Caribbean and all the diaspora around the world, we wish that West Indies can push on that one and go further into this World Cup campaign. So yes, their performances thus far is commendable. But the work has not ended yet. They still have more cricket to play. And the deeper they go into the tournament, as you know, Andrew, the World Cup, mm-hmm. the tougher it gets. Mm-hmm. So it is now knuckling down and making sure that you can put out another perfect game so you can go into your Super Eights knowing confident and be comfortable with the 11 that you're going to pick in the first Super Eight game. So well done to them. And let's hope they continue to do well and keep the smiles on West Indian faces.
Yeah, just before I move on, Philo, yes, we've spoken about the good things that the West Indies have done so far. Do you have any concerns at all?
Well, my concern is with Mario Shepherd. What is the true position with him? They said he had a slight niggle. We have Dr. Man Singh, who is there in India. We haven't heard a report from him, but he's supposed to be the medical man. You'd like to have some clearance from him of what is the true position with Mario Shepherd. And that is my main concern. I mean, you look at all the other players. The other players, obviously, they enjoy it. They look good. But it's just Shepherd. Because if Shepherd is going to be our first-time pick over Matthew Ford, you'll be expecting him to come back for maybe that Super 8 game. And we want to know if he's fully fit. Because you don't want a 75% Shepherd when you have 125% fit Matthew Ford. So that needs to be identified. And hopefully we'll see he is Shepherd back in the 11 and be up to our strongest playing possible 11.
Basil?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to your listeners. Good evening to the panel and good evening to my New York crew that tunes in every Tuesday. Look, I am not surprised. I stated from the onset that I expected the West Indies to get to the Super 8s. And for me, the Super 8 is where the cricket really begins, mm-hmm. right? We were in the weakest group with three minnows, so I did not see any pitfalls for us to get into the Super 8. So I'm not jumping.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, we were in the weakest group.
Yes.
Scotland, Nepal and Italy?
Yes.
Come on.
I'm just being cheeky as usual.
Okay. I'm not jumping up and down because we got the Super 8s. I expected us to get to the Super 8s. Right? So now the cricket begins. And, you know, this is where, as the old say, we say in Guyana, this is where you're going to separate the sheep from the goat.
Mm-hmm.
And the margin of error is going to be a lot closer. You know, things that you could have gotten away with against the so-called minnows is not going to be the same when you get up here, because all the teams now have played a lot of cricket and have gotten into their rhythm. I have a concern. My concern is a little different.
Yes.
My concern is that we've been playing against lesser opponents.
Oh.
Right? And now the level is going to be a big jump. So that is a concern I have, right? So I just, you know, I wish the West Indies all the best, but that is a concern I have in regards to the West Indies moving up into the Super 8. And in terms of Shepherd,
yes,
I don't have the same concern, Philo, because I think Shepherd, in my view, Shepherd was the reason we won the game against England. Because getting Mr. Salt at that time,
yes,
when Mr. Salt was putting on a full all-out assault on our other bowlers, the way he was going, England looked like they would knock off those runs before the 20th over. And getting him at that key moment, I think, turned the game for us. And but I would be concerned of Shepherd in terms of, from what Philo said, in terms of his fitness. Shepherd in recent times have been having these niggles often add up, right? Even though a player might say, I'm good to go, these niggles often can add up. I can tell you from experience, because I've had to rehab many of them, mm-hmm. right? So that is a little concern for me, because the World Cup is not a bilateral series, right? And these games now, every game you have to win. You have no excuse. And even though we have Zimbabwe beat the Australians also, although the Australians are not the team they were right now. And I think I would say Australia may have taken this World Cup a little lightly in their preparation, etc. Listening to some of the Australian major people in the last day or so, or particularly today, it would seem that's the situation, and the cracks have opened up, and their bench strength in terms of their bowling is not what they thought it was.
Yeah, we're going to certainly look at Australia and the exit. Philip Spooner, by the way, Chris Darien is supposed to join us for a short while this evening, because we want to know the importance of the West Indies, if they can go all the way and even possibly win the World Cup. What does it mean for West Indies cricket, financial, etc., etc.? He's a very busy man, but he's consented to join us for a couple of minutes this evening. We really want to hear from him. Philip, any word on your good friend Romario Shepherd? I don't think I've seen a release from Cricket West Indies. I might have missed it in relation to him. Philip, can you help us? Because we tend to get more information from you than from the media people at Cricket West Indies.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to the panel and all the listeners. Yeah, I spoke to the team today, and they said, obviously it was a precaution to rest Shepherd for the Nepal game. He's not carrying a major injury. Yeah, they just didn't want to risk him for the Nepal game. Shepherd is good. He's going to practice tomorrow in the West Indies, go to Eden Gardens. And they still haven't decided yet if they will play him against in the final game against Italy. But Shepherd is doing well, and there's no concerns in terms of injury. The team is in good spirits, in good shape, and everybody is, you know, as expectedly looking forward to Italy first and then Zimbabwe in the first Super 8. I got a lot of blows, literally.
Yes, last week. Yes, Philip.
These will do well. Mm-hmm. If you look at the way the team is set up, if you look at the way the team is playing, the conditions, the grounds are small, and we do well on small grounds. We have a very good track record of T20 cricket in India. Even when we go to India in bilateral series, even when we lose to India in bilateral series, we do well in T20s. Our track record in T20 cricket in India is very good. So the team is obviously growing. They will get better. This is not to say that they will steamroll anybody in the Super 8. The Super 8 will be rough. This will be rough and tough. But if you want to win the World Cup, you got to knock down walls. Mm-hmm. You don't win a World Cup easily. Nobody's ever won anything in a World Cup, in any sport, easily. So this is going to be a tough, tough shakedown in the second half. But I believe strongly the West Indies will do well. And I still believe they will reach the semifinals. When they get there, then that's a huge hurdle to cross. But this team is looking good. I am very happy with the way they have performed and the way they have prepared and the way they have gone about their business. They look really businesslike. They're doing well. Every challenge they have met, they have conquered it. They've taken it on head on and they've conquered it. One very, very crucial area in this World Cup is the bowling. Now, going into the World Cup, everybody said we had to make 200 to win.
Mm.
Everybody said, if we don't make 200, we're going to win. Our bowling is weak. There have been 30 wickets on offer. We've taken 28.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Very, very few times in T20 cricket do you bowl out people. We've bowled out England, we bowled out Scotland, and we took 8 against Nepal. That is seriously good bowling. Our strike rate is the best in the World Cup right now in terms of bowling. And obviously, we've got two bowlers, Shepherd and Jason Holder, in the top tier of wicket takers. So our bowling has really come to the party in this World Cup, and that's been a very big statement in terms of why we've done so well. And I expect this team to continue to do well.
Mm. Toppers, let's come back up to you now. We're going to look at England, and we're going to look at the exit of Australia. Do you think the West Indies, they've got a good chance of going all the way, Toppers?
Well, listen, my heart says, why not? You know, you've got to play well in every game from now on. You can't afford a bad game because you may not get through. The West Indies, I think they've started to learn about their roles.
But what is your head saying, though? You said your heart is saying, but I wanted to know about your head. What's in your head? Please, I need
my
to know
head
that. Yes.
Can't afford a duff game. You can't afford a duff game. So hopefully that won't happen. Wouldn't it be lovely if the West Indies played England in the final? England, listen, England are struggling a little bit here. Listen, the one positive bit I'm going to offer you is that we've scraped through. Thank goodness we beat Nepal. That would have been horrendous if we'd have gone out like Australia. But listen, two good players, two influential players at the top of England's order haven't fired. And I mentioned last week, I said quite a few strong opinions last week about England. But Butler needs to get runs at the top of the order. So does Salt. They are proven match winners. And we badly need them to come to the party now. So hopefully they will, which will give England a great chance. But England's bowling has been only okay. We've had to fiddle with makeshift spinners. And even somebody that is Mr. Dependable, Dawson, he has probably struggled just lately.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, we've got Jofra who's certainly... coming to the party now, looking quite good, bowling quite nicely. But I'm still not sure about Overton or Curran opening the bowling the other end. I would prefer to see Luke Wood in it. A left armer does earn his weight in gold in T20. But listen, for the Australians, as an Englishman, I'm having a little bit of a belly laugh. But having said that, we had Nepal, which was a banana skin, and we got through, thank God. Thank God. But there you go. I think a few of your panel or listeners would have been also having a few belly laughs if England had suffered that defeat against Nepal, which could have happened.
Yeah, indeed.
I have a question for you, Don.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you think of the continued use of Will Jacks? And he's been bowling a bunch of garbage because I thought West Indies took great advantage of what we would say in the Caribbean, the sugar water he was bowling. Those two overs that he bowled made a huge difference. I was surprised that Harry Brook went back to him for a second.
Yeah.
Hey, Basil, I remember watching the West Indies car team when he opened the bowling somewhere. I think it was Barbados in a couple of summers ago. Look, he's in the team for his batting. And he plays pace quite well, you know. He does open the batting for Southern white ball cricket, and he takes pace on well. But his second string is off spin. He is genuinely a part-time off spinner. I think that's at best. I don't want to be publicly giving him stick. You're entitled to. I know the family well, and my son plays with him. But he is, at best, a second-choice spinner.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because I was surprised again in the next the next match. He bowled again 2 overs for 34 runs. I'm very surprised at the confidence that Brooke continues to show in him when he has other part-timers such as Young Bettel that he could have tried, you know. But
Listen, the modern-day speak, and Philip and your other panel guests will talk about it. Mm-hmm. They talk about it today, and I don't buy it necessarily. They talk about matchups.
Yes.
You hear the commentators talk about the matchup of the day.
Yes.
No, I don't buy that. But they do have the idea that these coaches or captains have matchup. And if you have a left-handed batting, you might say, I prefer Jacks to Bethel. Yes. If I've got a right-handed batsman in, then I'll do Bethel because he turns the ball away from the batsman. So, look, you know, also in-swing, left-armers, they have these matchups. It's a very trendy, in-vogue phrase.
Yes.
But I'm afraid I'm a bit of a dinosaur and I don't buy it.
Okay.
I'm with you, and I could see the steam coming out of Philo's ears the minute you mentioned the word matchups.
Well, at this time, before Philo comes in, we're joined by Chris Darren, who, of course, is the CEO of Cricket West Indies. Good to have you on the show. Chris, I know you're a very busy man. We're going to come to you now and then get a reaction from Philo to what Don just said. Our West Indies are doing pretty well. Of course, at CWO, you must be quite happy about the performance of the side so far, Chris. We're not hearing you.
Oh, sorry. Good evening to everybody, Andrew.
And yeah.
Of course, we're very excited. And that goes across the Caribbean, of course, internally and the administration. You know, it's quite exciting. The staff gathers to watch every game and, you know, rejoices with every run and every wicket.
Mm-hmm, I see. And what do you think they're doing so well, Chris, so far?
Look, the West Indies, as I've always said, is blessed with natural, raw talent. There is an athleticism about our players that never had to be developed. You always have that athletic talent. The problem, if we don't have the necessary preparation throughout the entire production pipeline, you know, from root to the fruit, you're not going to get the same level of consistency as those athletes and players who have had that developmental pipeline. But at the end of the day, we've always had this raw talent that on its day, with the right confidence, with the right planning, will be very competitive. And we've seen that time and time again. Now we've had some very good preparation in this instance for these players and this particular team. If you think about the bilateral series that we have had, you will notice we have played a lot of T20 cricket against teams like Australia, gone down to New Zealand, prepared with T20s. We went to Nepal, and then of course Afghanistan and South Africa before this Cricket World Cup. So we've had a lot of preparation, a lot of match practice, time with the coaches, the coaching staff, having time with the individual players to work through a number of things. We've had individual programs, which quite frankly, when I saw it, I was even teasing the director of cricket this morning, in fact, you know, about some of the things that take place behind the scenes that the public will never recognize that it has happened. But for instance, Moti had been having a lot of difficulty, and we saw the difficulties he was having. I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm getting some feedback. I don't know what's going on there.
I think that's coming from Philo.
Philo, you got to turn this stuff off there, please. Thanks.
Yeah, so Moti had been having a lot of difficulties and was losing his line and length and so on. And he was actually pulled from the team at one point and put through certain training, certain camps. I see him now even bowling back of the hands.
Yes, bowling the Chinaman, yes. I see he's bowling the Chinaman. You know,
Yeah, it's very exciting to see when those things actually show results. And so, you know, all in all, you have to commend the coaching staff, the team. Clearly, they've also created, and when you see some of the behind the scenes videos that are taking place after victories, Jason Holder,
yes,
a leader within the team, and a senior statesman, you know, how he motivates and how the vibe that you're getting from the behind the scenes. It's a good feeling, I think, for all of us that they're competitive and more importantly, they believe in themselves. They believe they can compete.
Yeah, I know that some members of the panel may have a question or two for you. Well, what would this mean financially to Cricket West Indies if you win the whole thing?
Well, it always gives you a much better platform to knock on doors.
Yeah. yes.
It's always a lot easier to knock on doors with people wanting to congratulate you versus asking you what is wrong and why can't we do better. So yes, of course, it means a lot. You know, the next ICC meeting that I go to is in March, and I certainly would love to be able to walk with my head held high through those doors and say to them, look, what have I been telling you, and we've all been telling you all along, we have the talent to compete. Now give us the resources to develop talent. it has always been a difficult argument when we weren't doing well. But of course, these things are, you know, the winning euphoria is always a fleeting euphoria. We have to, you know, utilize anytime we do get these kinds of performances to put in place some of the things that, you know, will help from a long-term perspective. You know, some of the key infrastructure projects that we've been looking at and so on. You know, long term, you know, it's never about the current generation. It's about the next generation.
Just before I go to someone else, I'm interested in the viewership for the World Cup in the Caribbean. Can you give us some ideas to that viewership?
We don't have numbers on that yet, but you know, viewership will increase the further and further we go in the tournament,
right.
And then you'll hear. And if we win, then you'll hear all the people who say that they woke up every morning to watch every single ball.
Well said. And Dr. Ford,
Chris, how the tournament is going pretty well, and the West Indies are doing well. But what are your views on what the preamble, you know, with Bangladesh and also India and Pakistan, the non-cricketing issues that have reared their head and tried to derail the cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Let me start from the sleepless nights I would have had with the scary thought that India would not be playing Pakistan. Because that particular match means so much from an economic perspective for the ICC, not just for the India and Pakistan themselves, but for the world of cricket. So much funding is generated by that one single game because it you know, I'm seeing where the digital viewership alone, forget the television broadcast, but digital views was over 450 million people watched that game. Which is a staggering amount of digital views. We haven't even got the television viewership yet, right? Which is also going to be probably over a billion people. So that the value of that particular match and how that underpins the entire structure of world cricket made me, you know, really worry, because if that match doesn't play, you know, the ICC distributions could in fact be severely impacted. So that's just one side of it. But then, of course, you always have the India-Pakistan dynamic that influences just about everything. So, look, perhaps people might not think it's fair. But there's a certain economic reality to the world of cricket that has to be balanced. And, you know, it's a huge challenge for the ICC to balance it. Because at the end of the day, so much revenue that is driving this phenomenal growth of world cricket is coming out of India.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you have to give a lot of sensitivity to that fact. You can't just pretend it doesn't exist. And it's funding all cricket globally. It's funding English cricket, Australian cricket, and certainly the Caribbean cricket. Is very dependent on India at the moment and that Indian market. So, look, it's always going to be a challenge. The political, you know, seesaw between India and Pakistan will always be there. It has been there. And in a sense, I think the political seesaw helps to make the India versus Pakistan rivalry what it is. It is part and parcel of this phenomenon called India versus Pakistan. You know, it's an akin to a Brazil Argentina in a World Cup football match, or a England Germany in a World Cup football match. In other words, there's so much history and so much, you know, animus in some ways behind it politically, that it makes it the commercial spectacle it is. So I guess it's a question of, you just have to take it on the chin every time it comes around and find a way to cross that that Rubicon.
What's your idea of the best posture for the West Indies to access more of the funding? Should we do it on our own, or depend on nostalgia, or do we just get together with the associates and the lesser funded teams as a block and try to you know, agitate for a bigger slice?
You know, there are different strategies or different tactics we can try, but fundamentally, the associates and ourselves and the so-called minnows of world cricket, from a financial perspective, has very little negotiating power. What we bring to the table, obviously, is the growth of the sport, which the ICC should be interested in, and which we can facilitate. Certainly, one of the key strategies behind why we've been so keen to help develop the Americas cricket is that the stronger the America's team become and the more competitive the America's teams become, the more voice we can have at the ICC. And so it's not an accident, for instance, that we've been lobbying hard. We've had territorial teams participate recently in the Bolivarian Games in Peru. We've been organizing and trying to make sure that cricket is part of the Pan American Games, which it is. Next year, and so we're going to have qualification tournaments within the Caribbean to participate in that competition. And of course, then there's the Olympic lobby. The reality is that the Caribbean is Olympic royalty, individually as countries. In fact, you know, I made a joke with the chairman Jay Shah when very early in the piece he was simply saying, "Well, the West Indies just can't be a part of the Olympics since we're not a country." And I made a joke. I said, "Well, Chairman, I know that Caribbean countries like Jamaica, St. Lucia, Grenada are Olympic royalty. I see us on the gold medal podium all the time. I've never seen India." And, you know, the entire room laughed. But I think the point was made that you can't just leave the Caribbean out of the Olympics. And so they've made an accommodation for individual countries to participate in the ICC's Olympic qualification tournament.
Oh, mm-hmm.
We have to use that kind of lobbying power on that side as one of the tactics. But another approach has got to be to demonstrate tangibly the difference in economic costs between hosting cricket in the Caribbean and hosting cricket around the world. Because ostensibly, the ICC distribution really has been centered about essentially where the revenue is being generated, and that distribution is intended to assist individual countries to then participate in the future tours program. So in other words, one of the conditions of that distribution is that you must complete your future tours program schedule. However, a test match in England is far less expensive to host than a test match or a test series in the Caribbean. You know, when I speak to the ECB CEO and we talk about comparative costs, when he has the first test at Lord's and the second test up in Manchester, it costs the ECB less than £1,200 to move the two teams. And he never has to worry about moving TV equipment, all the staff, etc., up to Manchester. It's just a train ride away and a bus. In the Caribbean, to move one test, from when his first test is in Port of Spain and the second test in Antigua, it's a $250,000 expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to find a way to demonstrate. In the world of economics, there's something called a PPP, the purchasing power parity, where there must be an expense power parity quotient to how that distribution is made. Because you can't distribute 20 million to the West Indies and 20 million to New Zealand when you know that the 20 million in the West Indies can't really assist, or really just a piece of the cost of what it will take for the West Indies to host tours under the Future Tours program versus New Zealand or versus England. So we're doing some work on that. And of course, the ICC themselves are looking at the entire future of the Future Tours program and international cricket. And we know that it has got to be one of the factors that we put forward, that there's a totally different cost base in the Caribbean. So if you expect us to honor our Future Tours program, then give us the kind of resources that will allow us to do so.
Andrew, I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Chris, why don't you just get your captain behind the microphone and tell the world about the disparity in the funding and tell the world, you know, we are here at the World Cup, we're doing really well, we've won this thing twice. Why is it that we are getting the same funding as Nepal? I mean, it really grated me when I listened to the commentary the other day, and I'm hearing the commentators going on and on and on about additional funding for the associate nations, and nobody says anything about the fact that the West Indies doesn't get a cent in world cricket, comparatively speaking. I mean, as you said, we are cricketing royalty, and we are just going to sit there and listen to these people go on and on and on about Nepal and Scotland and Bermuda and Argentina and Brazil getting funding and needing more funding and needing to play against the West Indies when they're on their way to somewhere else. And why don't England play more against, you know, somebody when they're going somewhere? And nobody says anything about one of the greatest sporting teams in history getting pittance. So I think you need to get your captain behind a microphone and say, world, what are you doing for us? You know, that's my thought.
So look, Philip, public emotional sentiment might help, but the reality is that the people at ICC, every cricketing board that attends these meetings knows the disparity. They've known it ever since that financial formula was changed all the way back when, 1997 or 98. And I was there at Lord's when we presented, and I was totally against the new financial model and explained what it would do to decimate the West Indies. Mm-hmm. And that we got outvoted 9-1. So people pay a lot of lip service to this wonderful history and legend of West Indies cricket and how much we've done for the game. But when it comes down to then having to distribute funds that might impact their own distribution, it's very likely to get support just from an emotional appeal. So it can't hurt. So I'm not dismissing the idea. It can't hurt. But the truth is, you know, I've been in the room where it happens, as the Hamilton song says. I've been in a room where it happens, and they all know.
Mm-hmm.
They all know. And they all pay lip service and will always be saying, listen, yes, we know we need to compensate West Indies. I think what it is now is finding the rationale, a proper rationale for a adjustment to the distribution formula that can stand up to scrutiny and that people can't truly argue against. Once you tell me that, hey, this distribution is to make sure you all honor the FTP, well, mm-hmm. I'll honor the FTP, but don't tell me that I have to host a test match and it, you know, it cost me X with the best win in the world to host a test series, and it's going to cost England Y, but we must get the same amount.
All right, gentlemen, just before you go, we have to do a commercial break. So let's pause for business calls. 441790 is a call number as well. We're going to open the lines pretty soon. Mason and Guest, Broad in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Looking to refresh your troll finish? Well, look no further. Berger Brushing Solution is exactly what you need. This low-odor, fast-drying paint solution is a great way to renew and repaint in any color on interior and exterior textured surfaces. Available in coral stone and any shade from the color library. Visit the nearest color shop or hardware store to express yourself through color. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, 44-17, they're going to come back to you, Basil, but someone is saying the way the West Indies are playing now reminds me of 2016. Players step up when needed. No one player dominated. Maybe Hetmer and Rutherford. Would you agree, the panel? So when we come back from Basil, we're going to throw that out to Philo. Yes, Basil?
I wanted to add to what Chris was saying. Look, when I can talk intimately about this distribution as living an associate and was very close to knowing what was going on. ICC would judge United States of America like they would judge Jersey in the Channel Islands. For example, ICC would pay for our flights of our national team from New York, forgetting the United States have players coming from California, Texas, Colorado, which is thousands of miles. They think they could just jump on a train or a car and drive to JFK. So then the U.S. Cricket Association have to go into their pocket to pay for these guys to get to New York, and oftentimes have to overnight in a hotel. Now, all of that money comes out of the pittance that they would gift an associate. We used to get $400,000 a year to run cricket in the entire United States of America. So to say to Spooner, associates don't get no real money. Let me just tell you that. And I remember Joel Garner raising the same issue that Spooner is raising about West Indies. You're talking about fun, growing the game and etc. But West Indies is not getting money. And I think I remember him saying this. It was sometime in the late 90s, and we are now 25, almost 30 years later, and it's the same thing. Because the ICC, they have these weird formulas that they would judge and associate like United States, like Jersey.
I want to know, Basil raised a point, which is very interesting, because again, it's a very similar scenario with the West Indies. We are the only full member country on this side of the world, in the Western Hemisphere. Which means when we have to honor an FTP match in Afghanistan or Nepal, it's gonna cost us a lot more, first of all, to assemble our team within the Caribbean, and you know how expensive flights within the Caribbean is. Then we're gonna have to fly all business class, long distance, all the way to Afghanistan. So generally, Our series, whether it's home or away, costs the poorest of the West, of the full member countries, the most.
Ooh.
These are just facts that we, you know, have is totally beyond the control of Cricket West Indies. It's just geographic. It's where we are and how we're geographically dispersed. So these are all important points that we're hoping to be able to document, quantify, and propose at the ICC as to how the new model, whatever is the new model that is being generated, that will be fed into that new model and considered to be a core part of that model.
All right. Okay. 441790. Let's take a couple of calls. We can. Ken comes into the chair. He's been black tonight. He was in yellow and in red all last week, but he's in black. Hello.
This is lots of lanolin.
Say hello to Philo.
Philo, how are you, man? Good to see you. Always good to see you.
And, good evening, Ken. Nice to see you.
And Dr. Ford will talk about the lanolin.
Yes. All right. Let's take a call. Can we?
Go ahead.
Hello. Welcome, Mason and guests.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon.
Hello. How are you?
I am fine. I'm fine. And Dr. Beyond, the spiciest program in paradise.
Well, of course, you're a very happy man given the results of last week as well.
Yeah.
Listen, nobody's ever stumped you before like me.
Good shot, Andrew.
Yes.
You all play cricket and golf at the same time.
Both. Which is impossible.
So good.
Yes.
Right.
Talk to me.
Look, good evening to the panel.
Yes.
I want to know, Andrew.
Yes.
I want to know, I heard about the origin of it, but just summarize it in about two sentences. The purpose or the reason for Australia and England playing the Ashes. What is the Ashes?
Okay, that one is for Doc Ford. What is the Ashes, Doc Ford?
Well, it's historically one of the most important rivalries, and it continues to grow and attract the biggest crowds, and is a big revenue spinner. So it's historical.
But what we're about the Ashes? I hear that some battleship or something went down and burned and all that. Is there any truth to that rumor?
Can I give it a shot, Andrew?
Yes.
From what I remember, when Australia, England used to obviously beat Australia very regularly. And there was a series, I believe it was in England, and in the late 1800s or early 1900s, where Australia finally beat England. And it was seen, remember now, Australia was a colony of Britain. And actually was the colony where they sent all the criminals. So for Australia to come to England and beat the crown, beat the mighty England, it was seen as the death of English cricket. And stumps, I think stumps were burnt, and right. The ashes were put in this little urn. And that this tiny little urn is about 7 or 8 inches high, I think, or 6 inches high. But the ashes of the stumps were put in those in that urn, and that urn has become so famous, the ashes, that it never leaves it where it is guarded, safekeeping, because it is just so delicate, an urn. But a replica of it is actually presented at the various, when the Ashes series. So the forevermore. But that test series, they play for the Ashes.
Yeah, it was back.
Thank you very much. But I want to follow up with something. I think is a good marketing tool, and I think the Ashes series is respected around the world, and I think it's the most watched cricketing game in the world. Kudos to Australia and England. However, Andrew, this one is for you. You can't get out of this. West Indies and Pakistan, we all boast that they play same cricket. They play alike. You don't know which team can turn up on a particular day and all that, right?
They're unpredictable.
Unpredictable. I am saying, and if anybody steal this, Andrew, and I want you and Ken Husband to be my representative on the board or whatever, because I really ain't get copyright yet. Why we, meaning the West Indies and Pakistan, don't come together and play for something called the dust. No, seriously. It's nothing to joke about. We play two games. We play two years or whatever, if it is a 4-year or 3-year span. We play one series in the West Indies, and then we travel to Pakistan. It would be like this, backward and forward. Play for the dust.
Well, Chris Darren is here, and of course he's the CEO. He would have made a note of what you said. Another note, though, you like the way the West Indies are playing so far?
Most definitely. I'm a West Indian, and I'm a Jason Holder lucky.
Oh, really?
If Jason Holder tell me run, and then he stop me halfway and tell me, man, you better walk, I can do whatever Jason Holder say. I like the man bad, and I like Brian Lara. I like a lot of great people, mm-hmm. and I like Jason Holder.
So have you been watching the cricket? You've been watching a lot of it?
Every morning.
Well, the 23rd, they play against Zimbabwe at 9:30. February the 26th, they play South Africa at 5:30. And then on March the 1st, against...
No, give me the days.
Oh, okay. Well, February the 23rd. What day of the week is that? We'll have to just double check that. But February the 23rd, you could always check it. February the 26th and March the 1st.
Okay. All right.
And 9:30, 5:30, and 9:30. So it's good times for people getting up very early in the morning.
Right. But I still got to make a living too, you know?
Yeah, I know.
You know how self-employed people do it.
Yeah, I know.
And good night to my friend, Ken.
All right.
Good night to you too, friend.
All right.
Thanks very much indeed.
Enjoy the show as always.
Okay, man. Thank you very much indeed for your support. 441-790 is, in fact, the call. No, can we take another call? We can. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Hey, Anton, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, sir. And also, good night to your panel.
Right.
Well, to open tonight, I just want to say that I especially love how West Indies is playing so far. Right. 3-0, and we're the first to qualify.
Yes.
And I like how they are running the singles and hitting the ball and stuff, and they're playing, mm-hmm. Moving around the baton. That this inning, someone score run. The next inning, someone else score run. So that we have different players going on, and all the pressure is not on one person. But mm-hmm. Mr. Mason, still, I would like in the next match, I would like Akil Hussein to be omitted, sir, and just watch one match. Because, like, although he's bringing down the run, sir, like, he's still going a little tip expensive for me.
Expensive.
But he's our best bowler, sir. And right now, he hasn't went for in the 20s or 40s in a little while now.
Right.
And plus, sir, we still need to work with him and help him to develop a googly and stuff.
Do you like to see him start the bowling? Because, you know, before he was bowling in the middle.
Yes, sir, but, like, he could start the bowling.
Right.
But, like, sometimes, like, mm-hmm. he does go for runs. And, like, nowadays, because he don't have that variety as other spinners like Rashid Khan and stuff.
Right.
People start picking him.
They're picking like, him.
Because in that match, he bowled an arm ball, I think, to Phil Salt, yes. But Phil Salt was all outside leg stump, and he hit him for six. First ball.
Right.
So he need a variant of deliveries so that if his arm ball is not on today, he could bowl the googly. Because I'll let him to, like, watch how good Takesh Murthy did. Like, he was rested off the squad, and he developed many different balls.
Yes, he bowled a bit of, yes, he's known as a Chinaman and that kind of thing. Well, Anton, if Ford is, if Shepherd is fit, would you bring him in and leave out Ford? If
no,
Shepherd...
Next match, I'll go, like, with a little bit more pace and leave the spin to... Moti and Chester.
Oh, so you would drop Hossein and bring in Seals? Is that what you mean?
Oh, not Seals, but Shepherd.
Okay. You bring in Shepherd. Okay, interesting. So you think that someone like a Hossein should be out, and you certainly bring in a fit Shepherd.
Yes, sir.
All right. Have you been watching the games?
Yes, sir.
All right.
But, like, the 1:30 match against Italy, yes. I started watching it, but, like, I would drop sleep.
Yeah, you would. Of course you would drop to sleep, yes. I mean, at that kind of time, you're snoring.
Yes, sir.
Yes. All right. But then you have some good times now against Zimbabwe, 9:30. Then February the 26th, you've got a game at 5:30. And, of course, on March the 1st, against the big one against India at 9:30. So you'll be up for those games.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm, indeed. All right. Just before you go, say good night to fellow Jamaican and Chris Darren. Y'all are Jamaicans, you know, on Mason and Guest. Say hello to Chris.
Good night, Mr. Darren.
What's his name? Anton? How old are you, Anton?
I'm 13 years old, sir.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed your commentary a while ago. You seem to have a very in-depth knowledge of cricket. So you must be Jamaican.
I like that one. And remind me, Anto, what part of Jamaica are you from again? Where were you born?
Over, sir.
But where's that?
In St. James.
Oh, in St. James. Where exactly in St. James?
Hopewell, sir. Hopewell.
Oh, Hopewell. Chris, of course, you've got land in Hopewell in St. James, huh? Right, Chris?
I don't talk my business in public.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Anton, for coming and talking to us on Mason and Guest.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's pause for business calls. When we come back, we're going to get a comment from Philo. We also want to spend some time to as well on Australia being out of this tournament. And we also want to obviously preview the West Indies Zimbabwe game. We were hoping to get Courtney Walsh. He promised that he was going to come, but of course, it's way past his bedtime. We've been trying to reach him. He is the bowling coach for the Zimbabwe team. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Choose performance that lasts. Choose Berger, made in the Caribbean, formulated to provide superior weather resistance in harsh tropical conditions. Guaranteed to protect against and deter fungal and algal growth to meet the needs of residential and commercial spaces. Berger transforms your spaces with a wide selection of colors in brands you know and trust, built to withstand that busy lifestyle. Virtually odorless, thousands of colors, premium performance are at your fingertips when you choose Berger. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, let's go to Philo. Philo, Australia out of this, I mean, are you surprised? Haven't seen them play?
Andrew, it's a surprise because I can remember a couple of weeks ago we had Ricky Elko. He had Australia
To win everything.
But when you look at it, Andrew, this World Cup is showing you that the smaller nations are not afraid of the big nations anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes on the backdrop of playing franchise cricket. Because a lot of these smaller nation cricketers now are involved in franchise cricket around the world. And they get to rub shoulders with these top players. And then they come together for the individual countries. They want to show them that they're better. And Australia obviously has some injuries. But they're still a good Australian side. But they were caught wanting. Maybe they underestimated the competition or the teams that they came up against. And they were beaten soundly. And they will go back to Australia and they'll lick their wounds, Andrew, and they'll come back stronger and better the next World Cup. Mm. It just goes to show that you cannot underestimate any team at a World Cup. In a bilateral series, you might get away. But when it comes to a World Cup, every game is important. You win, once you win games, you win money. And you move further into the competition and the money gets bigger. You know, and so Australia has been shell-shocked. And I'm happy for them. They now have to go back and try to reinvent the wheel in T20 cricket. And that is a good thing for world cricket. I was hearing Chris Dearing as well. Good evening, Chris, talking about revenue sharing. But my message to you, Chris, and to West Indies cricket squad in the World Cup is just a minute.
Yes.
If West Indies go all the way and win the World Cup, and you go to ICC meeting, you have power because you're a champion.
Mm-hmm.
So my message to you, to the West Indies squad, it's going to win the World Cup. It's going to be difficult, but put in the best effort all the time. I look to win that World Cup for a third time so that you have bargaining power at the table.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good. Let's go to Toppers. Toppers, why do you think Australia are out of this? Are you surprised by this, Toppers?
Yeah, I am. Look, probably T20 is their least favoured sort of format. You know, they're still very traditional with their tests. They've had injuries to their bowlers. They've also come on the back of a busy Ashes series and the Big Bash, which I saw both when I was in Australia. So I think the season probably has taken its toll. They've got too many players out of form and they probably needed Steve Smith there from the beginning, from the off. And he wasn't involved initially. But yeah, it's been very disappointing. And I do sense on social media that they're certainly looking at into the mirror and they're looking for answers. And I don't think I think it's their worst format of the three.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about Zimbabwe now. I'm surprised by their performances. Toppers?
No. Listen, as an old Zimbabwe coach. Back in the 90s, I'm very pleased for them. They've gone through the doldrums and coming out. And as Philo just said, T20 is the ideal format to spring surprises. And we've been talking about the ODIs not opening out so much. That's a much harder format to get victories for the minnows. But T20 is ideal. And Zimbabwe duly deserve to get their performance. And not being funny, Zimbabwe have played the West Indies quite a lot recently. And I would say to the West Indies, don't take them lightly.
No, okay, indeed.
Andrew, just a point here.
Yes.
It is obvious that T20 cricket brings everybody close to the margins or small and thing. But if you look at the difference between the two countries where the matches are playing, the grounds in Sri Lanka tend to be much bigger than the grounds in India. And some teams have benefited from playing on the small grounds. We saw the other night Pakistan tried to lick the barn door or lick the thing off the barn door, and they didn't stand a chance. I mean, they look terrible, Pakistan. But this is the same Pakistan team that lost to India in the preliminary round in 2022 and reached the final. Should have beaten England in the final in 2022. So don't write off Pakistan. Australia, it's near impossible to lose three fast bowlers of the quality. Well, Stark is quit, Cummins injured, Hazelwood injured, and really progress. I mean, the bowling look light is obvious because that's serious quality that you're losing there. I mean, imagine West Indies lose Marshall, Garner, Holding. You're going to struggle to beat people. And then you leave out a batsman who is magnificent across all formats. You will struggle, and Australia struggle. But the whole thing about small teams and big teams, so-called small teams, there's no small team in the Super 8. So the whole thing is small teams did well. They nipped at the heels and they did what they had to do. They announced themselves in the case of Italy and a couple others, but they haven't actually progressed. I mean, if you think back to 2022, Scotland beat us and progressed.
Yes.
If you think back the tournament in the West Indies, USA progressed, right? So none of the small, quote-unquote, small teams have actually progressed. So that's just something to pay close attention to, right? But you know, Zimbabwe, when I heard that Courtney Walsh was the bowling coach, I immediately contacted him. I called him up in Zimbabwe and I said, Ambassador, you know, like, this is a big job. He said, I'm going to spring some surprises. And he immediately mentioned the fast bowlers, Evans, Navarra, and Muzurambani. He said, these are going to win us some matches. These guys are going to hit the deck hard. They're going to bowl. These grounds in Sri Lanka are big. We're going to bowl sharp balls. We're going to force people to hit to these big boundaries, or we're going to beat people. And that's planning. And I think one of the things about the West Indies in this tournament that has been magnificent is the planning. Our planning has been near perfect. As I said before, we've taken 28 out of 30 wickets. Bowling out people in T20 cricket is a very rare thing. We've bowled out two teams, one of them being England. And
Andrew,
against
Andrew.
Nepal. So for me, West Indies has been the form team so far. Sri Lanka's performance the other night against Australia was magnificent, dynamic. I mean, look at the opening batsman who got the man of the match. Perfectly timed innings, hitting the straps, and he completely took the Australian leg spin out of the game.
Yes,
he did. Zampa is off. He did. In a team minus, come in, star, and here's what Zampa must get you three or four wickets in to win these games. And he completely took him out of the game. He neutralized him. And that is what beat us. And Australia had no plan B, C, or D.
None.
And, you know, they were blown away. It was like taking candy from the Australians at candy. So, but in terms of strategy and planning and execution, to me, West Indies have been the form team so far.
Andrew, one of the good things about Zimbabwe cricket in this T20 competition is that they have a man called Sikander Raza, who has traveled the world and played T20. And he's brought all of that experience to Zimbabwe's cricket, and it's paying off. You got to remember, this is a man that played a test match last year in England, a four-day test match. When the game was finished, took flight, I went down to Pakistan and played in the PSL final and won it. All those are experiences that man carries into that Zimbabwe unit. And Zimbabwe have a point to prove. I'm happy for Ambassador Walsh. I call him and wish him all the very best. But the leadership of Zimbabwe's cricket is now a leader that understands. And the players respect Sikander Raza. And they respect him because he's a world-rated T20 franchise. When you have those type of players, so you can feed off of them.
I'm a great admirer of just raw talent. And when you have somebody who's 6'8" and can bowl high 140s, listen, that's a serious weapon. Imagine Jason Holder being able to bowl in the high 140s, you know.
There's a Barbadian friend of mine in England called Mr. Weeks, who has worked tirelessly with that young man. He got him over to England a couple of seasons ago to play county cricket because he saw the value of him playing county cricket. And all those things add up in the end. You don't see the work in the back. The young man has worked really hard, and he's come through, as you would say, a lot of rough times in his life. And now just to showcase that kind of talent. And as Philip said, Courtney Walsh has a bowling plan. It hard and cause some problems on big grounds. So if you don't middle it, as you know, Chris, you're going to get caught because fielding is going to be important. And Zimbabwe was always a good fielding side. So they have a plan, and it's worked for them. And we have to commend them. I hope that they can continue to do well. Because we need teams like Zimbabwe to push the nations that are above them. Mm. So that ICC can realize, Chris, from that financial revenue distribution, right, it has to be a bit more even.
No, gentlemen, before
Chris,
you're
shortchanging by 2 inches. 6'10".
Okay. Oh, 6'10". Very tall indeed. Now, gentlemen, before we talk about playing against Zimbabwe, we still have another game against Italy, huh? So I want to spend a little time on that and the emergence of the Italians playing. Interesting. They've done pretty well so far. Doc, Italy.
Can you believe this day?
Yes. What is the significance of that? Italy, playing against Italy.
World Cup.
Yeah. What's the significance of that?
Not a single player born in Italy.
Can you imagine that?
But it's good. It's good for the game. The growth of the game, the growth of anything globally is absolutely brilliant. They seem better at cricket now than they are at football because they can't qualify for the Football World Cup, but they're playing in the Cricket World Cup. Mm. And as an Italian football supporter who grew up watching Baresi and Maldini and Costa Curta, I am very, very upset that the Italian football team is doing better than the Italian cricket team is doing better than the Italian cricket team. But I think we just got to hit them really hard on Thursday. No prisoners. Just go there and hit them really hard. Bowl them some sharp balls. Ruffle some feathers and hit them really hard. Mm. They seem to bat well, and they seem like they can bat pretty deep. The bowling is not
Philip. Philip, who would bowl those sharp balls?
Good. That's a good question.
You've got Shamar, Jason Holder, but gets good bounce. He might not got pace, but the bounce is awkward. Mm. Shepherd, the other day, that he can hit the deck, and he hit the deck hard, you bowl them sharp balls. You don't necessarily need to be bowling at 150.
Right. Be aggressive at them.
It's one way of doing it. Their bowling seems the weaker suit. So when we bat, we just got to take them down like we did against Nepal. And we just got to hit them hard and make a statement and say, look, we're going into the Super 8s on a high. We're going to win this next $32,000 and take our stock up to $150,000+. And we're going to come at Italy. We're going to hit them hard and go into the Super 8s and do the same damage against Zimbabwe. Because this is crunch time now. This is crunch time. So you got to go hard.
We got to remember, Italy got a team full of Australians and South Africa, so nobody from the West Indies can scare them with sharp balls. Uh-huh. So let me park that.
Yes.
No, but I didn't say scare them. I say an aggressive approach is a difference. Nobody told me.
No. These guys play fast bowling all the time, Spooner. So
but I don't
aggressive gonna rough up these.
So what are we gonna bowl then? What are we gonna bowl? We gotta bowl properly.
We have to bowl properly. But your narrative is not gonna be the narrative that's gonna work against these guys. These are not guys who just showed up. You got Australian players and South Africans that got way more fast bowling than we got in the Caribbean when you watch them play.
But that's appreciated. Nobody say no. But what plan do we have to play against Italy? We
go in there. That's the plan for Sammy and them to do. The Sammy and them supposed to
plan. The obvious plan is to be aggressive, both with the bat and the ball. And the aggression is set the field back with the deep square, the deep line, and bowl them some short balls and ask them to clear the wicket. You're not going to bowl your fast bowlers with long off and long on push back against Italy. That is unrealistic.
I'm so not saying that.
Aggressively, you set your feet to suit and you bowl the Italians some short balls and tell them, show me what you got. Similarly, when you bat, you take the aggressive approach. Brandon King looked pretty good against Nepal. He's not had a score yet, but you go there on the offensive. You take them on. Their bowling is the weakest suit. They don't have anybody bowling at 140,
but,
and the spinners don't.
But Philip,
if you like,
but Philip,
you go home.
You know, Philip earlier we talked about the West Indies doing pretty well and asked about concerns, but no one has spoken Dr. Ford over Brandon King. He opens the bat, and you need that start. I'm a little concerned about Mr. King. Are you concerned for a doc about Brandon King?
Well, basically, we've seen the middle perform, but the openers haven't really capitalized on the initial power play. So that's an issue because we know we've seen Hetmyer kind of mature and play some good innings. And what I would say is that in the middle, we've been running, we've turned our ones into twos and twos into threes. So we're seeing more urgency there. And we haven't had to depend on the power hitters at the end. So I think if the openers can give us a better platform, we can really use that middle. And I think Powell has to come into his own a bit more. But Rutherford and Hetmyer look really good. Mm-hmm. And once the fielding continues to be good, then we should be okay. I think we probably need to keep the three spinners in this format, and I'm glad that Chase came in because I did mention that last week. Granted, I did say that he should come in at the expense of Hussein, but my other issue is that Hussein is an opening spinner and doesn't have much use otherwise, and you know, if he goes to runs early, then we'll probably get two overs out of him, and that's one of the only drawbacks that I have there, because I don't think an arm ball with the seam up and the orthodox left arm is enough, because I don't think he has enough loop and variety in speed and in height to really make him someone who can adjust. But all in all, looking at the Yorkers from Joseph, I think the team is a pretty decent team, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to really make the batting count, because I still feel that our batting is the thing that we really need to make sure that we score towards that 200 to be competitive.
Batting has been made easy because we bowl so well.
Yeah.
We have been a form team in the tournament. Mm. As I said, we've snatched 28 out of 30 wickets. Count for me the last time that you've seen a T20 series where a team has been, or three matches in a row with the West Indies were able to bowl up people twice and then take 8 wickets. So the batting has been made easy because the bowling has been so good.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we haven't made 200 and we defended it. And then when we bowl them up for 130, we wipe it off for one wicket. So we need to be applauding our bowlers right now and say, you guys keep this up, because this,
we're not taking away from
the World Cup. And the point you made, Doc, about being Hussein and a lack of variety and all that kind of stuff, ask Badri about variety and what's needed. You need consistency. Hussein needs next couple of days to work on being a little bit more consistent,
right?
Which could then nutrition once the pressure is being built. But Badri didn't have a lot of variety. Badri bowled a slider and a ball that turned in rather than turned out, and it deceived a lot of batsmen. But you get your four overs in from your spinner up front, and it builds the pressure, which then forces the people to have to do crazy things on the other end. So if Hussein can sort of hold that Badri role, 4 for 20, 4 for 24,
right,
West Indies in all the time, because it will build pressure.
All right.
And people will do crazy things at the back end.
Okay, gentlemen, we're going to try to sneak a couple of calls in. People are waiting. Hello, Mason and Guest.
Yeah, good night, Andrew, to you and the panel.
Good night to you.
That strategy with Philip Spooner and West Indies play that kind of cricket to get put out. You have the ball good. I agree with Basil Buescher. You can't bowl that kind. But who West Indies got to frighten somebody with bowling? Jason Holder, Shepherd. The only body we got that will run them is the guy, Joseph.
Right.
Now you can't adopt that strategy. I don't agree with Philip Spooner. But I'm going to say, I don't mean to bring sound bad, but West Indies, in that zone, they might beat Zimbabwe. They will not beat South Africa or India.
Ooh.
Especially with that kind of bowling, that the Philip Fosse bowl.
You know, in 2016,
they said we couldn't beat India. Who are you talking now? We don't have the bowlers to fry in the body.
Andre Russell hit the biggest six ever.
We don't have the bowlers to fry nobody.
We went the floor with them.
Only Joseph.
It's not about frightening anybody. It is building.
But you don't have those kind of aggressive bowlers. Only, I tell you, only Joseph. Jason Waller, they can hardly get a ball above your waist.
I strongly disagree with you, and I'll tell you why. Let me explain.
Well, we will see. Hold on, point.
Two people can't talk at one time.
Let me just get it very straight.
Yeah.
Let me just get it straight. You create the pressure. You build the pressure. You create the problem for the batsman. The option is, do you bowl length and push mid-off and mid-off back? Of course not. That's going to go to the ground. These grounds are small. You build the pressure. You get the ball big on the batsman, and you see it. You saw Phil Salt against the team, I think it was this morning. Phil Salt smashed the guy out the ground. The guy didn't have any pace, but he got the angles right. And the ball, rather than being on the inside of Phil Salt's armpit, was on his right shoulder. He tried to fetch the ball from outside the off-stump, caught at mid-on. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about planning this thing properly and going and being aggressive and making a statement. You got to go into the Super 8 making a statement. That is what won us the World Cup in 2016. We were aggressive and forward-thinking. Mm. We didn't have anybody that bowled at 140 in 2016 either.
Who you have to bowl aggressive?
Charles Bradford took three wickets in the final.
Joseph.
Aggressively at 130.
All right, gentlemen. Okay, let's end the argument here. Thanks. Thanks.
Good bowling.
All right. Thanks for coming and talking. Can we take another call? Yes, before we go back to the... No. 441790. Just want to change the focus just a little bit. A quick question for you, CEO. It's always good to have you on the show. And this has nothing to do with the World Cup. I'm hearing that CPL may go to St. Vincent. Can you tell us about that? Have you heard? Maybe you should know. Is that true, CEO?
Lots of ideas, lots of discussion surrounding CPL, surrounding our own domestic season, surrounding women's CPL and how we're looking to expand it. So all of these ideas are on the table.
Mm.
And on the discussion, but nothing that can be announced or
But there's conversation with St. Vincent about CPL.
There's probably conversations about all the countries because we, you know, we have franchises that.
But I'm speaking specifically about CPL, about St. Vincent.
And I'm saying that there's nothing specific that I can give you because simply I know there's so many ideas of how can we expand. You know, the markets for our franchises, how can we support CPL? How can CPL support West Indies cricket and all America's ambitions and so on? So lots of ideas on the table. And, you know, what thing is good is that we have a great partner in CPL and long may it go.
All right.
I have a question for Andrew. Andrew, the team hasn't done that badly. What are your views on the performance of the coach thus far?
Well, I mean, he's done pretty okay. I mean, obviously, in terms of what we've seen.
Come on, Andrew.
No, but he's done pretty okay so far. I mean, what am I to say? He's done pretty well. But the team has won three matches, and he has
okay
to be given credit.
Is probably as good as we're going to get from you, eh, Mason?
No, but I mean, I think that we've done pretty well so far. We got to play against Zimbabwe. Then, of course, the test is going to come against South Africa and India. So, I mean, they've played okay so far. Is not the best thing to say? I mean, they've played okay. Have they not played okay so far?
I think the West Indies has been the form team.
I think
the first team.
How much?
First team to reach the Super 8. Three out of three.
But they played okay so far.
From what I've seen,
you've played. Yeah.
Many commentators have spoken about
yes
the level of professionalism, the tactics. The execution of those tactics,
right.
And you really always have to give credit to where it is due. I mean, there's things
So they played great. So we played great so far. Would that be correct?
I would say we played very well.
Very well. Okay. Okay.
Very
so,
well. We see the tactics unfolding. You see strategies
right.
specific to the batsmen. You see the field placing specific. Bowling changes are all specific. You see tactics unfolding and
right.
you see results.
Right.
And you see the execution. And so you have to say, well, somebody is guiding the ship. And so you have to give credit to the captain, of course.
Yes.
And the team hierarchy, in terms of how they've
cleared. Darren Sammy. Things. Yes, Darren Sammy. And if he wins the World Cup, that contract is going to be for about 10 years.
So what do you want to do?
Well, the question is, is it just all players, or has the coach played a role? Because I know we've given him a lot of flack on the show, but the question is, is this?
Well, one would think, Doc, that he would have to be part of the strategy. Don't you think he would have to be part of the strategy? I would think so.
And
the other thing too about him is he's always on the field as well. The other coaches don't do that. Do you see him coming to the field?
All the coaches do that, Andrew. But Andrew, the first game, you have to Chris is forgetting the blunders in the first game against Scotland.
Yes.
Not picking Mr. Chase and Bolin Hussein out of the power play.
All right.
Right.
Mm.
So those were two elementary blunders that he had to correct.
Yes,
remember that too.
Chris, your response to that?
Like with all tactics and strategy, you adjust accordingly.
Right. Well said.
You're never going to get everything right.
Right.
But it's how you react to the circumstances, how you adjust your tactics, how you adjust your overall strategy.
I
can't remember your Sun Tzu, The Art of War, Basil. Come on,
No. The blind man could see that Hussein, his strength is bowling in the power play, not in the middle overs.
Right.
But you will also recognize that everything has to be taken into consideration. And perhaps they looked at that wicket and said, look, based on how that wicket looked, maybe Hussein might be more effective in another area. So you don't know because we're not part and parcel.
I know that.
And so when they do try something,
yes,
you see it's deliberate. In other words, nothing is happening just by chance. We are making things happen.
Right.
My point to this is that he took Hussein out of his strength.
Right.
It wasn't just the first game. It was leading into the World Cup. And we could see it was not working. So that's why I was perturbed why Hussein was not bowling in the power play from game one.
Right.
Because every time he bowled outside in the previous matches, in the series before, you could say Hussein looked like almost a shell of himself. And one of the keys a coach is supposed to do is to put his players in the best position to be successful. And I thought, he was not doing so with Hussein.
Toppers, you got your hand up.
Yeah, I thought, listen, this has been a magnificent, passionate argument or discussion. And I'll just throw the hand grenade in. Maybe Hussein was bowling and the captain and coach thought, in the great words of Spoons and Philo Wallace, maybe there was a match-up at play.
How wonderfully said indeed. Well, don't get carried away, gentlemen. Don't get carried away. I mean, we've played against England, very unpredictable. I mean, they've not been the best. We played against Scotland, they should beat. We've played against Nepal, we got India. So far, so good. But don't let us get carried away by any stretch of the imagination. We got Zimbabwe. We should beat Zimbabwe. I think the test, of course, is to come against when we play against South Africa and against India. And we wish the team well. I would love the best teams to win. And we'd be all happy to praise the team and to praise Sammy and all those who participate. On this show, Chris, we criticize and we also praise. Huh? And that, in my view, has always been the function, should always be the function of a show like this and of course a journalist. You praise when people deserve praise.
Where in your hierarchy does pretty okay fall in the praise?
I'm saying pretty okay because of the people that we played so far. We've played Nepal. We should beat Nepal. We should beat Scotland. And the England side is not the best. Right. So all I'm saying is that we played okay so far.
I would
Andrew, but you know, sorry, Basil.
You know, I'm a critic, Chris. But I gave Sheho high marks for his handling of the bowling against England. I thought Sheho was like a conductor.
Yes.
Conducting the orchestra, his tactics, he was spot on.
Yes.
I gave him high Andrew. Marks for that. And I gave Mr. Sammy high marks for making the adjustment of bringing Hussein in the forward play and kicking Chase against
England. Oh, wonderful.
So I'll tell you
something, Andrew, about this team that I noticed. And I always look for body language. I always look for body language.
Yes.
And I remember very well, right, when we won in 2016, how much the team it was enjoying entertaining the audience.
Yes.
I mean, in 2016, we were on fire. We wiped the floor with everybody. Nobody came close to us, except obviously the last match when Carlos had to do what he did.
Yes.
But the language of this team looks so engaging and exciting. The guys look like they are performing on stage rather than on a cricket ground. They're interacting with each other so well on the field, and you can see that the crowd is really warming to the West Indies team in this tournament. Obviously, when we play India in Calcutta, it's gonna be it's gonna be a billion to one. We get that. Hopefully, by then we would have beaten Zimbabwe and South Africa, and we would have been in the ultimate dogfight with India, right? I'm just saying.
Mm.
But I'm looking at body language, and I'm absolutely enjoying the way we are performing.
Mm.
Hetmyer, the most ridiculed man in the last decade in West Indies cricket, is a different individual.
Yes,
he's dropped weight. That's obvious.
Yeah,
but he's so engaged.
He looks fit. He looks very fit.
I mean, and the team is responding to their audience.
Mm.
What I also noticed in this World Cup is Sammy saying less.
Oh, he's saying less.
Okay. A lot less than he normally does. Mm. So he's obviously empowered his players to go there, do the job, and tell the world what you've done so well.
Yeah, maybe
so
Chris.
On the field, we are doing well. We are 3-0 and should be 4-0 after Thursday. But off the field, and those other things that tell you that a team is engaged and ready and wanting it are also factors. And I remember very well in 20, it was the only time in my time with the West Indies team where men used to line up and come to me and say, I'm ready to speak.
Mm. Philip, I got a question for you. Do you think that we'll win the World Cup?
This is going to be a hard World Cup to win. I mean, this is 2016 was hard,
right,
for other reasons. This is going to be a hard work. We're in the group of death. Right, Zimbabwe will be a difficult team to beat. The conditions will be what they are.
Mm.
But I am excited. I am truly excited about the prospects, right?
Mm.
I like the way they're playing. I like the way they look. I like the way they're engaging. And even when you see them travel, I mean, I was with them in South Africa, and they travel so well. They look so comfortable in the environment and so relaxed.
Mm.
And these things are very important because India, I mean, anybody who's ever been to India when cricket is on knows that this place is total chaos and madness. You can't breathe when there's cricket on in India.
Philip,
so you gotta be so mentally in tune with what's going on. I think I last week I said they're gonna make the semifinals. I stick to the semifinals. I would love them to win and become the first team to win the World Cup 3 times.
Right.
Don't forget that. Our record in T20 World Cup is magnificent.
Mm. No.
Three semifinals. So I would love them to win, but I can't.
Philip, don't get carried away, though. Don't get carried away.
I'm not getting carried away. I think I'm being totally realistic.
Yeah.
This team is on to something really good.
But I hope so. Philo, do you think we can win the World Cup? Talk to me.
It's going to be hard, Andrew. It's going to be hard for West Indies to win the World Cup. We've all loved them to win. But I think the deeper they go, as I said earlier, in this World Cup, the harder it is for them to get.
Right.
Andrew, we play against Zimbabwe, Jess Topple, Australia. South Africa is playing wonderful cricket.
Yes.
and then we brought up on the home team India. You know, so so for West Indies to really surge ahead in this World Cup, they have to be firing on 12 cylinders. They've got to be better than the rest.
12?
By a big margin.
I think more than 15.
No, because we have to be firing. We can't. There's no second guessing what we have
no,
to do.
No, no, no.
And it's tough. You know, Philip is all excited. I'm happy that he's excited as he is. I hope he doesn't catch a heart attack. He has to cool out. But the thing is that we play each game as it approaches. Yes. We play each game. Mm. I think the fixture against Italy, Andrew, Thursday morning, we need to play that professionally.
Yeah.
Because teams like Italy are due a win.
Yeah, yeah. And they've not played badly so far. Huh? I'm not sure it's going to be a walkover to her. I'm not sure about that.
I would like us, once we can play a solid T20 game against Italy and go 4-0,
right?
Then you do a reassessment, you look at Zimbabwe. But we have to get over Italy convincingly, Andrew.
Yes.
To put fear in the teams that we're going to meet in the Super 8.
Yes. All right.
Winning convincingly is important.
Okay. Let's pause our business call. We got another 10 minutes left. We're going to go around the table. I'm going to come back after the break with you, Doc. Do you think we can win the World Cup? Then Basil, and of course, our very good friend Toppers, who's got England to win the World Cup. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Looking to refresh your troll finish? Well, look no further. Berger Brushing Solution is exactly what you need. This low-order, fast-drying paint solution is a great way to renew and repaint in any color on interior and exterior textured surfaces. Available in coral stone and any shade from the color library. Visit the nearest color shop or hardware store to express yourself through color. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, let's sneak a call in before we go back to the panel. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening to you.
I don't understand why you seem to always be objecting to the fact that anything is possible in cricket. Any team can win, and whenever somebody says that West Indies will go forward, you seem to go into this shock thing that West Indies can't do nothing. They have won 3 games based on Phillips' thing last week.
What have I said to make you come to that conclusion?
Because every time they say West Indies will win something, it seems to be funny to you, and you so unbelieving.
Give a little effort
to West Indies team and praise them sometime.
Caller, can I ask the question again? What have I said for you to come to that conclusion?
It ain't always what you say, it's how you behave.
Oh, okay.
It ain't always that. Y'all should need to pray for the fellas.
Yeah, but I would
so
love,
that the fellas
but,
can ma'am, win again.
But ma'am, I would love the West Indies to win the World Cup.
You don't behave like that.
No, but I'm also very realistic.
That is not the point. You didn't think that West Indies would beat England either.
Should I not be realistic, caller? The reality.
There's nothing wrong with you being realistic, but you have to. You always beat down the West Indies team. Give the man a break.
That is not true at all. I praise.
It is true, Andrew.
Ma'am,
I listen to you all the time.
Ma'am,
and you always saying that whenever somebody says West Indies is going to do something good, you prefer Zimbabwe to win.
But that's not true. That's not true.
Of course it is.
That's not true. Doc talked about the rankings, where we ranked in world cricket. We got some tough games coming. I would like the West Indies to win. Of course I would like to win. But I am also very realistic.
What are you realistic about? You don't know if they are going to win.
Nobody knows, but you always beat them. Not at all. Put it this way. Andrew.
Okay. Because I don't think that you want US Indies to win. You don't believe in none of that the US Indies is doing.
Well, if you say that, in fact, we've got match winners. I mean, you got someone like a Hetmar that can win a game for you.
Have a good evening, Andrew.
Okay, fine. You got Hetmar that can win a game for you. I like Hope at the top. You got someone like a Rutherford. We got matched as we've always had. But the reality is the consistency is not there. And you got some tough games coming up against South Africa and against India. And we will like the West Indies to go on to win. But I'm not going to get on any bandwagon, ma'am, right? And say that the West Indies go without being reasonable and an argument. And the argument that we have put in here is that they've done pretty well so far, but they've got some tough matches coming up. I don't think anyone can argue against that. Let's go and take another call, can we? Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. Now, I hear everybody jumping up on a bandwagon and going on like the West Indies beat big teams. And West Indies only beat one big team, and they're not playing good.
We're not playing good?
Right, no, I mean England.
Okay.
The only big team that can consider the beat is England. The problem I find with this program, people like who they like. Mm. I don't care if you say Andrew, they're going to crucify you.
Yeah.
You understand? The problem is, these people have to be realistic. We will all love the West Indies to win.
Yeah.
Reality is, here is where we will show what you got. The first game is a no-no for me. I don't even count that. The beat Scotland, it was not a convincing win. I agree with you, and I agree with Wallace. A lot of people in the Caribbean catch a heart attack because the thing that, to me, the team to beat is South Africa. If you look at India, for the West Indies to beat India, the West Indies have to look at what America did to India. Set the fielders in the right place for the openers, and once you carry on the openers, then the trouble. A lot of these, the most balanced team
right.
in the entire World Cup is South Africa. If you look at India, then you get rid of two openers, one body, middle, square, three runs. Why beat Australia? Australia leave with a bad team. Australia should never leave Kerry home. Mm. Kerry can bat better than the entire team that got it there. Mm. Kerry, Stark, and Smith, those three should be in there. So Australia deserve to be what they. Mm. If you look at India, India got a big name from ain't India giving the World Cup liner. I'm sorry to disappoint all the India fans. India's not winning anything. As long as you catch them open as early,
right.
India in trouble. Mm. If you want the balance a lot of these teams, there are only two men scoring runs and the middle struggling. Yes, the West Indies bat well, but they haven't met any real opposition yet. When the Super Six start, they're going to see. Have a good night.
Okay, good night. Well, gentlemen, we got just a couple of minutes left in the show. We're gonna spend those couple of minutes with Chris Dane. Always good to get Chris to come on the show. Chris, we're going to just move away quickly from the World Cup. Just want to ask a quick question. I understand that the women, the Australian women, are coming to the Caribbean March 10th to April the 4th. One test, three ODIs and three T20s to be played in St. Vincent. Can you confirm that?
Well, we're going to be making all the various announcements of the various series very shortly, dates, series schedules, etc. We're just finalizing that series now with Australia. So listen out for the announcements.
So they come in March the 10th, April the 4th for sure. They come.
I don't have the date off the top of my head,
but they're coming.
They are coming
for
a series, which. We're still finalizing what the series will comprise.
Mm.
But those dates and the series components will be announced in due course.
Quickly.
Hope we get a test match because we haven't played a test match for over a decade and a half. And
yeah, one test, three ODIs and three T20s in St. Vincent.
Yes, exactly 50 years since we played Australia. Women.
You also have to remember we have a Women's World Cup.
Right
after,
right.
20s. So there are different considerations that Australia and
ourselves. But you can't cancel the test, Chris, can you?
Excuse me?
You can't cancel the test match.
You're telling me that or asking me?
Mm. Haley Matthews. You'd break Haley Matthews' heart. She's been going off the last 8 months about playing this match. Stephanie Taylor is hanging on. Stephanie Taylor is hanging on to play a test match.
We just got another two, three minutes left in the show. Quickly, Chris, Rupert Hunt has left us, the chief commercial officer. Is that correct?
Rupert has resigned. He's heading back to his family in the UK. So we wish him well and thank him for the work he has done at West Indies Cricket. As short time as it was.
I see, and I understand too that Farood Bash has left you, the events manager. Is that right?
Fawaz also been really hanging on at my request because his family's in the United States. So he's continuing to consult with us to help us with the transition.
Mm.
But we've hired a new event manager in Dario Bartley, who's replacing Fawaz. But Fawaz has always, for the last year, has been really hanging on to give us service and going back and forth between the Caribbean and the U.S.
So Dario is in the job. He's in the job.
Dario started. It's his first week, second week on the job.
Okay, but no announcement has been made.
Well, we're not going to announce every position that comes on board, and we don't know necessarily. You know, obviously, senior executives we tend to announce, but and I don't know what attraction has been in the past, but I don't see the necessary to announce every single person that comes to work with Cricket West Indies. We have over 100 contracted and employed staff. So,
I see. For final question to you, you went to India with Lara Richards and Richie Richardson. Anything came out of that in terms of sponsorship? Or are you still hoping and wishing and hoping?
So we're still in discussion with sponsors, even for this ICC T20 World Cup. So stay tuned. We might have some good news shortly on that, as well as for the India Series Tour, which we have later this year. But of course, that tour, that Mission India, involved not just the sponsors, but broadcasters. So we're still in negotiation with the broadcasters in India for our home series for 2027, as well as various sponsors for overseas tours to India and the home series in 2027.
Just another minute left in the show. February the 3rd, 2025, when you took the job. So you've been there a year and 10 days now. Chris, how has it gone for you so far?
Well, it's been a tough environment to come into. I mean, very challenging, but very exciting at the same time, because you see the talent that we still have across the Caribbean at various levels. You see the types of people that we have working within the office, and I see the structure that I've encountered that certainly wasn't around when I joined the Western Cricket Board way back in 97. You have to admit, when I came in to the commercial operation, I don't think there was a single computer inside the office. It was four or five people, and one wondered how we managed to manage tours, etc. So what you have now is a very modern organization with, you know, a group of young professionals. Back then when I joined, Andrew, I was the young whippersnapper coming with all these crazy ideas and so on. And now I'm the senior statesman. So it's a different way, a different world. So I'm very confident, very bullish about the future of West Indies cricket.
Well, I want to thank you very much indeed for coming on Unmasted and Guests. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Time is caught with us. The West Indies, of course, up against Zimbabwe on the 23rd, 9:30, February the 26th, they play against South Africa, 5:30, and then, of course, against India, March the 1st, 9:30. Good times for people to watch the cricket and to listen as well. I know it's on your YouTube channel. The BCA, they've got it on their website, and a couple of stations across the Caribbean. They're also tuned in as well, and they're quite happy to be very much a part of this. Thanks to you, Chris, for coming on the show. Thanks to, of course, Mr. Topley, who says that England will win. Thanks to Philo Wallace, who's given some caution. Thanks to a very excited Philip Spooner. And, of course, thanks to his nemesis. We're talking about our good friend, Mr. Butcher, who's always putting Philip, you know, putting him in this place, if one case to put that in Caribbean Palace. I'm Andrew Mason. He's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.
Choose performance that lasts. Choose Berger. Made in the Caribbean. Formulated to provide superior weather resistance in harsh tropical conditions. Guaranteed to protect against and deter fungal and algal growth. To meet the needs of residential and commercial spaces. Berger transforms your spaces with a wide selection of colors in brands you know and trust. Built to withstand that busy lifestyle. Virtually odorless, thousands of colors, premium performance are at your fingertips when you choose Berger. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.